45, and let's take a look at chapter 29 of Genesis. We're still in the portion of our study where Jacob is with his mom's family up north of the land of Israel, modern-day Syria and Iraq now. And at Genesis chapter 20, actually, take a look at verse chapter 29. Let me just review by focusing us on verses 31 through 35. We read verses 31 through 35 last week. And Leah gave birth to Jacob's first children, four boys. Anyone remember their names?
Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah.
Yeah, exactly. So Jacob's firstborn is Reuben. And Reuben in Hebrew means see a son. So that's Reuben. Simeon, or Shimon in Hebrew, means God hears, or hearing. That's the second oldest child of Jacob's. The third child was Levi, or Levi in Hebrew, which means attached. And the fourth son of Leah and Jacob's is Judah, or Yehuda in Hebrew, and that means praise. And by the way, the term that we use today to describe the people of Israel, Jew, is a variation of the name of that fourth son, Judah. We talked last week about the fact that even though Leah is not the wife that Jacob chose, God loved Leah a great deal. He opened her womb, gave her four children, and two of the four represent the major institutions that God used in the nation of Israel to serve the earth, and that is the priesthood through Levi and royalty through Judah. And by the way, Yeshua, our Jewish master and Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, is a descendant of Judah and therefore Leah. That brings us to chapter 30. And could someone read for us verses 1 through 8?
When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die." Jacob became angry with her and said, "Am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children?" Then she said, "Here is Bilhah, my maidservant. Sleep with her so that she can bear children for me, and that through her I too can build a family." So she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife. Jacob slept with her, and she became pregnant and bore him a son. Then Rachel said, "God has vindicated me. He has listened to my plea and given me a son." Because of this, she named him Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, "I have had a great struggle with my sister, and I have won." So she named him Naphtali.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. So, verse 1, how has Rachel reacted to these four boys that Leah has born to her husband?
Jealous.
Yeah, ticked off. Not happy. And in fact, somewhat of a drama queen. She makes a statement that's pretty dramatic. What does she say?
Give me children or I'll die.
Give me children or I will die. Yeah. And so, like, maybe we might react. How does Jacob react to that? Charge.
Because I'm doing my part.
That's right. Well, he got angry, right? Not only just got angry, it says his anger burned against her. He was really ticked. And what does he say to her? Maybe not in the most loving tone either.
Am I in the place of God?
Yeah. And what is, and so he says, "Am I in the place of God who has done what to her?
Kept her away from children."
Yeah, God has cursed you. He's basically telling Rachel, "God's cursed you. What are you blaming me for?"
Wow.
Yeah, it's not good. There's truth in it. I mean, and not necessarily that I don't want to call it a curse, but we do learn in the prior chapter that he closed Rachel's womb. And it seems to be as a result of the way she might have been treating Leah. But he gives it to her. Man, straight up, here's truth. Boom, right in your face. and not with a lot of syrup on it. And anger. And it's probably not the best way to deliver it. So what's her solution to this problem in verse 3?
Just like Abram did and Sarah did.
Yeah, this is really it's kind of a generational repeat, isn't it? Yeah. Jacob's grandfather did the same, grandmother did the same thing. Sarah was having trouble bearing children, despite the fact that God told Sarah she would have a child. And so she thought, well, you know what? God told me this. I don't see it happening on my time, so I'm going to shortcut it on my plan.
Sends it to follow?
Yeah. Passed on to the second, third generations. And so you've got Rachel making this decision to take her maidservant and say that my maidservant is going to basically be a surrogate mother for me to bear me a child, and presents the maid to Jacob. And Jacob, of course, like any good and honorable man, says, I cannot do this. God forbid I do something like this. Right?
I think he made sure that all these ladies had beautiful maids.
Yeah. So how does Jacob respond to Rachel's plan?
Okay.
Yeah, hey, let's get it on. Let's make this happen. So you have in verse 3, here's my maid, go into her that she may bear on my knees. The idea is that, again, she'd be a proxy. She would give a, she would provide a child biologically that would be a legal heir of Rachel's and Jacob's. And verse 4, you know, Jacob goes into her, surprise, surprise. Verse 5, now this maidservant conceives and bears a son. And what's this son's name? This is the fifth son. This is the fifth child of Jacob's.
Dan.
Now, who else do you know in the Bible named Dan?
Daniel.
The prophet Daniel. Yeah. Anyone know what the name Daniel in Hebrew means? God is my judge. And this is similar. It's the Hebrew word's Dan, so it's not God is my judge, but judge. Or actually, in this context, it's vindication. Rachel is saying, aha, here's Dan. I'm vindicated. So the fifth son is her is vindication, Dan.
And Dan's not mentioned as one of the 12 tribes, is he?
He is. Yes. You're thinking of Revelation. In Revelation, he's mysteriously he's not identified as one of the 12 tribes. And there is a idea that maybe the Antichrist is from, but there's a lot of issues related to that exclusion of Dan in Revelation, but he is one of the 12. Naphtali, these are some great names, eh? Sixth child, Naphtali. Why did Rachel name this kid Naphtali? In Hebrew, the name means my wrestling. And the idea is that she has really been wrestling with God. Like, God, why? And I love this imagery. And we're going to get to it with Jacob. I mean, boy, when you're going through something tough, I mean, hopefully you're wrestling with God. Hopefully you're just like, I'm not letting you go until you give me an answer. Or you pin me. And so she wrestled with God all through this pain that she was experiencing with regard to four heirs delivered through Leah. And ultimately, her maid produced an heir legally, and she named him Naphtali. So
this is a different precedent, because in other, where they had a maidservant, like an Ishmael, the name was given by God to the mother. And here, Rachel's naming somebody else's child.
That's true. And notice, too,
it's kind of freaky.
And you know what's else kind of odd, too? What role did Jacob have in naming the first four children? Leah named all these kids, right? So, yeah, and we don't really have any evidence, knowledge of the Lord's. So I think these are just these women expressing their emotional lives through these children.
Is Naphtali male or female?
These are all boys.
They're all boys.
And this is one half of the nation of Israel right now. So we're halfway there. We got six of the 12 tribes, boom, in Scripture, on the earth.
There's something that always, as we search through the Scriptures, we find that we all struggle at this table, every man here. I'll venture to say that every one of us struggles.
Amen.
Against principalities of evil and the trials and tribulations. If we'll notice, look how they're applying all through the lesson that we learn from Genesis 1 on through to Revelation.
It's true.
Mankind struggles. Trials and tribulations bring perseverance, James says.
Yeah.
But we all struggle.
It's true. And I think of Rachel here. She was jealous of her sister. And, you know, we can make really bad decisions when we're jealous. You know, we're jealous of people. We're jealous of a lot of us. I've done a lot of things based on covetousness. You know, I want what that person has, and I deserve what that person has. And it can lead down a lot of wrong paths.
Chris, what does Simeon mean again?
I'm sorry?
What does Simeon mean?
Hears. Like, God has heard.
Oh, heard.
God has heard my cry. Let's take a look now at, could someone read verses 9 through 13 in Genesis chapter 30?
When Leah saw that she had stopped having children, she took her maid and her maidservant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. And Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob's son. And then Leah said, "What a good fortune." So she named him Gad, or Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob her second son. And then Leah said, "How happy I am. The women will call me happy." So she named him Asher.
Okay, thanks, Albert. So you got Leah bearing four sons. Now all of a sudden, Rachel's maid bears two male heirs. How does Leah react?
I can do the same
thing. Wait, I got some good idea!
Yeah.
Apparently, Leah wasn't producing anymore after the four. She wasn't able to have any more children. And in that frustration, she just decided to... she saw what Rachel was doing. She said, "Hey, I can do that too." You know, it's pretty interesting. For some reason, Leah didn't think that Jacob would object to him foisting her handmaid on him. That's, call me crazy. That was her intuition. And so she says to Jacob, "Here you go, get busy. We have no objection in Scripture recorded." He gets busy, and Leah's maid produces a son. Leah names the son. What does Leah name the son?
Gad,
okay, and Gad means in Hebrew fortune. Zilpah has another son, and Leah names him who?
Asher.
Asher. So now we've got three quarters of the nation of Israel on the earth right now. We got eight of the sons. We need three more to come into play. And what does Asher mean in Hebrew?
Happy.
Happy. Yeah. By the way, it's interesting. I don't really know many people named Reuben other than the Jewish community. I don't know a lot of people named Simeon. Levi, we all know Levi, right? Levi with Life of Messiah Ministries. Here that's been our study here. Judah, there are some people name their children in Jewish community Judah, but I don't know many Gentiles that do that.
I know an Asher.
Yeah, I was just going to say that Dan I know a lot of. Naphtali, never heard of. Gad, I've never heard of. But I'm finding more and more people naming their kids Asher. In fact, Tim Sigler's daughter is named, is her daughter or son?
Son
is named Asher. Many of you know Tim. And we have another friend who's just had a child recently, and they named him Asher.
I have a friend who has two children, and they are Judah and Asher.
Judah and Asher. Yeah. Are they Jews or Gentiles?
Gentiles.
Gentiles, okay. Yes. There you go.
Yeah.
So we've got eight of the sons, Gad and Asher, through Leah's maid. Could someone read verses 14 through 16 for us?
During the wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the field and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother Leah. Rachel said to Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But she said to her, "Wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take my son's mandrakes too?" "Very well," Rachel said. "He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes." So when Jacob came in from the field that evening, Leah went out to meet him. "You must sleep with me," she said. "I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he slept with her that night.
Okay.
Oh, boy, he's in. So. He's got a mate.
He's got a mate.
So,
two mates.
Prostitution.
Now, remember, Jacob's at the age here where this may be more work than pleasure, so don't. Now in the days of the wheat harvest, Reuben went out and found. So Reuben, by this time, is probably a young teenage boy. Yeah, at least we'll talk about Jacob's age and their ages in a second here. He finds mandrakes and brings them into his mom. And Rachel says, hey, give me some of your son's mandrakes. Now, question, anyone know what a mandrake is?
No.
Okay.
It's the roof of Viagra.
Good. That's basically close and true.
Are you serious? I was just...
Yeah, so in...
What was it?
Yeah, Dave said it has to do with Viagra, and he's close. It's basically... So in Hebrew, the English translation is mandrake, but in Hebrew it literally means love plant.
Where can we get them?
Yeah.
This is likely, whatever this plant is, it likely in that culture, in that time, had some reputation for being an aphrodisiac.
Here, my commentary says it's a fertility-inducing narcotic.
Yeah, so either an aphrodisiac or a fertility booster. And so it's very likely that Leah was telling her son, go, I want to start giving you brothers and sisters, go out and give me some of the love plants. Rachel sees it, and why do you think Rachel wants them? Yeah, for the same reason Leah wants him, okay? This is all having to do with, you know, family wanting to produce heirs.
Chris, my Bible has a different definition of mandrakes. It says, the mandrake has fleshy forked roots that resemble the lower part of the human body and were therefore superstitiously thought to induce pregnancy when eaten. That sounds like the female is eating.
I think you're probably right. Now, with regard to the description of the plant in your Bible, Lou, I think someone may be kind of taking a little bit of liberty because I don't think anyone really knows what plant this is.
Okay.
But I think everyone does agree that no matter what kind of plant it is, it has these qualities that that folks are ascribing to it. And so in verse 15... how does Leah react to Rachel's desire to take Reuben's mandrakes? You know, Yeah, go ahead.
Well, she says, I'm not going to give him to you. You already took my husband because he is sleeping with you.
Yeah,
Not
much love going on between the sisters, is there?
No.
Yeah, you stole my husband. Yeah, now you want to take my son's mandrakes.
Yeah.
You should see the picture of a mandrake.
Okay.
Holy cow.
Is it phallic looking or?
You know, it looks like a little baby with arms and lumps and the hair, the plant is sticking straight out. You guys, you won't believe that picture.
So,
come on.
Rachel says.
Yeah, me too. That's ridiculous.
So what does Rachel say in order to get the... thanks, Lou.
Let him back. So, you get thrown under the bus, Lou. I saw it. It's like when you play sports, the first foul doesn't count. That's what I should tell you.
Get caught with the second one, for sure.
That was a Kia play.
Thanks, Carl.
So Leah basically goes off on Rachel. How does Rachel react in verse 15? What does Rachel say?
You can sleep with him tonight again.
Yeah, let's make a deal. Yeah. Monty Python in it right here. Let's make a deal.
Yeah.
And this shows us that generally Jacob is spending most of his time with Rachel because that's the wife of his choice. Yep. And so she has the power to make this exchange. I'll send him into your tent. Give me the mandrakes. That's the proposal. That's the offer. And in verse 16, there seems to be an acceptance because in verse 16, Jacob comes in from the field of being a shepherd. Leah goes out to meet him. And what does Leah tell Jacob?
Hey, I made a deal.
I paid for you. I got you tonight. Yeah.
Do you think Rachel wanted the mandrakes because she felt that maybe it would open up her room?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. This is really, talk about family mess. Okay, could someone read verses 17 through 21?
God listened to Leah, and she became pregnant and bore Jacob a fifth son
Then Leah said, God has rewarded me for giving my maidservant to my husband. So she named him Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons. So she named him Zebulun. Sometime later, she gave birth to a daughter and named her Diana.
Okay, so Leah is back to being very, very productive here.
Those mandrakes must be really good.
So in verse 17.
God listened to
yeah, yeah, check it out. The Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us that God tilted it in and gave heed to Leah. Really, really, really rewarded Leah.
So Leah had six sons.
She had six sons. Yep. Leah is the mother of half of Israel.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the mother of...
And a daughter, the only daughter we know of.
And Judah, you know, is... Judah, I believe, at least...
Yeah, so let's look at this. So Jacob has a fifth son through Leah. So Leah's first four sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Leah's fifth son, and now Jacob's ninth son, his name is
Issachar.
Yeah, which means wages or hire. And the idea is, okay, baby Issachar, I love you because I bought your dad that night and I hired him and I got you. So that's Issachar. Huh. Crazy.
Great name.
And so, wow, Leah again has a sixth son. Again, half of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel come through Leah. And Leah names this son what?
Zebulun.
Zebulun, which means dwelling. And so now we have 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel, the patriarchs of those tribes, in the scene right now. We got our eye out for two more now. We got to keep our eye out for two more to complete the nation of Israel. That brings us to verses 14 through 16. I'll read those. Now, in the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went... We just did that, didn't we? Yeah, my bad.
22.
Yeah, I'll do 17 through 22. Verse 17.
We did that one too.
Yeah, thank you.
22.
Yeah, I had my coffee today too. Yeah, 22 to 24. Then, here we go. God remembered Rachel. God gave heed to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. She named him Joseph, which means may the Lord give me another. Or no, I'm sorry.
Grace.
What does Joseph mean? What do your commentaries
say? It says he's taken away my disgrace.
Yes, okay. So Rachel has her first child, this is Joseph, and this is the 11th member of the nation of Israel. Now, as a matter of irony, do you remember what Rachel said to Jacob when she was ticked off that Leah was having kids and she wasn't?
Why, if you can.
Yeah, good. And then what did she exclaim? Like, what's going to happen as a result of this? Yeah, remember she said that as a drama queen?
Yep.
Now, here's the irony. Guess what happens to Rachel when she gives birth to her next child? She dies. Yeah, she dies. So we've got Joseph on the scene now. We've got 11 of the 12 tribes on the scene, and we also have one daughter Dinah. Dinah is a variation of the name Dan. Vindication. And maybe Leah was saying, hey, double vindication. I got a daughter. Now I got a son. Now I got a daughter. Ha ha, Rachel. And this brings us to the next portion of our reading. Could someone read verses 25 through 30?
As soon as Rachel had born Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own home and country. 26. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you. 27. But Laban said to him, if you had found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. 28. Name your wages, and I will give it. 29. Jacob said to him, you yourself know I have served you, and how your livestock has fared with me. 30. For you had little before I came, and has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turn. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?
Okay, thanks, David. So, you've got, now, finally, Rachel, which she's always longed for this. She's wanted to have her own child. She has this child, Jacob. There's 11 sons. Now at verse 25, we're at the point, well, take a look at verse 25. Now it came about when Rachel bore Joseph that Jacob said, send me away that I may go to my own place in my own country. In other words, 14 years have gone by.
Mm-hmm.
He's filled his service. And in his 14 years, he's got 12 children, 11 boys and one girl, by four different women. And Jacob is 92 years old. And at this point in his life, he says, I got to start thinking about retirement.
How old did he live, Chris?
So he lived, I think about 100,
137.
Yeah, it might be around 137, 150-ish, I think. Might be 137, exactly. And remember, this is still kind of after the fall. Lifespans are, you know, still longer than normal, but shortening. And so you have here, verse 26, Jacob's like, look, I got to start building a retirement. I need my own stuff. I'm a hired hand. So he says, he says to Laban, after 14 years have gone by, let me have my wives, let me have my children for whom I have served you, and let me leave. For you know that my service, which I've rendered to you, you know what I've fulfilled all of the parts of the deal. How does Laban respond in verse 27?
Wants him to stay.
Yeah, why do you think?
Because he did really great with all the stocks and everything.
That's exactly right.
He made a lot of money.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
God blessed Jacob.
Yeah. Does anyone remember one of the aspects of the Abrahamic covenant? I will bless those who bless you. And isn't it interesting that Yahweh blesses even those who are involved in the lives for good of his elect, of his chosen? And
the converse of that, though.
And the converse is, I will curse those who curse you. That's exactly right.
Isn't the prime minister of everyone?
And so we have here, and also this happened with Abimelech and Abraham. Abraham hung out with an Abimelech's nation, and Abimelech said, wait a second, Abraham, we're getting rich because of you. Please stay. So the same thing's going on with Laban. Now, Laban figured this out. How did Laban get this figured out in verse 27?
Prayed to Yahweh.
What does the Bible actually
divination.
Say? Divination. Good. Okay. So divination, actually he didn't pray to Yahweh.
Right.
Divination is that Laban was involved in some kind of occult practice.
Right.
We would go to a fortune teller. What's my fortune say? And so Laban, the grandfather of the nation of Israel, is really a dedicated pagan, probably like Abraham's family was, serving all these other gods other than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because through some kind of occult practice of divination, it was revealed to Laban that the God of Abraham was blessing Jacob. And in verse 28, knowing this, what kind of proposition does Laban make?
Tell me what you want.
Hey, listen, I'm making a ton of dough because of you. I want you to stay. You stayed 14 years, I promised you. Two wives, you got them. What do you want? I want to keep this gravy train rolling. Now, keep in mind that Jacob fulfilled the deal. He was free to go. And so he wasn't looking to make money. He wasn't looking to prosper. He wasn't looking to do anything other than just start putting money in his 401k plan.
Yeah.
But Laban makes the offer. So Jacob says, okay, you got the offer? How does Jacob, so, hey, as long as the offer's coming, what does Jacob say?
Let me keep tending.
Yeah, yeah, so he's, but Jacob, verse 29, Jacob says to him, you know that I've served you and how your cattle have fared with me. So Jacob's saying, look, I've done everything right and you're doing really well. Verse 30, you had little before I came, it has increased to a multitude, and Yahweh has blessed you wherever I turn. Even though you don't serve him, I do, and he's blessing you. But now, you know, I got to provide for my own family. So he's building up now his response to Laban's offer. Well, let's read this next passage. Could someone read verses 31 through 36?
What shall I give you? He asked. Don't give me anything, Jacob replied. But if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Let me go through all your flocks today and remove from every speckle and remove them from them every speckle or spotted sheep, every dark-colored lamb, and every spotted or speckled goat. And that will they will be my wages. And my honesty will testify for me in the future. Whenever you check on the wages, you have paid me. Any goat in my possession that is not speckled or spotted, or any lamb that is not dark-colored, will be considered stolen. How far?
Could you read through 36?
Okay, agreed, said Laban. Let it be as you have said. And that same day he removed all the male goats that were streaked or spotted, and all the speckled and spotted female goats, all that had white on them, and all the dark-colored lambs, and he placed them in the care of his sons. Then he put a three-day journey between himself and Jacob, while Jacob continued to tend the rest of Laban's flocks.
Okay, thanks, Albert. So you've got here now in verse 31, Laban says, okay, what do you want? What do you want, Jacob? And Jacob says, look, you don't need to give me anything because our deal's really done, but if you want me to stay, here's what you can do for me. This is kind of interesting, and you know, some of our versions might, because the Hebrew is not really easy to get a hold of here, so our English translations, there is some speculation here. But does someone want to take a shot at what Jacob is saying to Laban he wants in order to stay?
I said, give me part of your inheritance or part of your
okay,
assets.
Good. So you got all these assets. Really, I'm the one that's worked to provide them. I'm not saying any of them are mine.
No.
They're all yours, even though I've done the work. But the deal's a deal. They're yours. But if you want me to stay, I'd like to have some of those.
Right.
Okay, good. Which ones does he want?
The speckled ones.
Okay.
Probably the minority.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's saying, look, probably the ones that aren't valued as much,
right.
They've got speckles, the black sheep even. He says the
right.
Black, the spot, yeah. The speckled ones. Mm-hmm. And not only those ones, but their offspring too. So the idea is if you have two white sheep or white goats mating, they're probably not going to produce speckled or spotted or black sheep. But the speckled and spotted animals would produce speckled and spotted or black. So the idea is, let me take the small portion of your herd, and let me have it for my wages, and then its offspring, and everything else is yours, and I'll continue to work for you. Now, then Jacob says something in verse 33. What does Jacob say in verse 33, and what do you think that means?
You can verify anytime.
Yeah,
can verify anytime.
That's exactly right. Jacob's saying, look, you trust, but verify.
Right.
And Jacob's saying, here's an easy way for you to verify. How?
Look, checking
it out. Yeah, look, I mean, if I got any white in here, then I've stolen from you. Because I know that if I've got black, speckled, spotted, they're going to produce black, speckled, and spotted. So you know that you can verify. I'm not asking you to, I'm the Ronald Reagan type. Trust, but verify.
Yeah, yeah.
Trust me, but you could see for yourself. Good, okay. Now, how does Laban respond to that request?
Agreed. Great deal.
Now, remember what Laban did on the first deal?
Got him drunk.
Well, so
he reneged.
Yeah. Laban was very dishonorable in the first deal. How? What was the first deal and how was the dishonor?
7 years.
7 years, I'll give you Rachel, and he put Leah in the tent.
Right, the veil.
Yeah.
Laban was a schemer.
Yeah.
He was a true
schemer. Totally.
Yeah, but so was Jacob here. Come
on. Well.
Laban got paid back.
Well, why is Jacob? That's a good question. Why do you think Jacob's?
He's going to Laban with this. Here's what's on the table. This is what you don't know. Unfortunately, because Laban doesn't know genetics and he hasn't been out in his flocks and doesn't know what's going on, Jacob knows how to manipulate the flock for his benefit.
Okay, so let's hold on. That's good. That's good. I'm not sure that's true, though, but we'll talk about that. But let's, because I am not sure Laban, I don't think anyone knows genetics. We're going to talk about something going on weird here, but I don't think it's based on genetics. I think it's based on superstition, in my opinion. We'll talk about it. But it's, I mean, in my mind, give me a small piece of the sheep for my work. That seems, doesn't seem any deception there. Is there any guile in that, would you think?
I think he already, well, we already know a little farther in the story. But
just based on this. Just based on give me a piece of the flock for I'll work for it. Is there anything wrong with that?
It sounds okay on the surface, but I think he's got an undertone.
How do you know?
Well, one, because I read farther.
Okay, so let's... let me just say, when we read farther, I'm going
to
disagree with you on that, and that's okay. But honestly, if you went to work for someone, do you do it for free?
No.
Okay, so
I mean,
based on... This is kind of just a normal transaction, isn't it? If I'm going to do something, I should get something. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Now, here's where... Oh, I'm sorry, Roy.
Purified the herd when he removed all the speckled ones from that herd. And he
who purified the herd?
Jacob.
No. This is where Laban's the scumbag. Laban, in order to ensure that Jacob gets nothing, takes all... Let's take a look. Take a look at verse 34. Laban said, good, let it be according to your word.
Boy,
so
you're right.
So Laban removed on that day everyone that could... He took the wages right away from him. What a scumbag! Laban saw everything that could be Jacob's and took it and then separated 3 days. This is deal, scumbag deal number two.
Oh, I thought that was Jacob.
No! Laban!
I thought
Laban!
I think he's from downtown Pittsburgh.
Laban!
Detroit.
Wow!
Was he a Italian?
Now guess what? Now, check this out. In modern law, that's fraud.
Yeah.
And it excuses you from a deal.
Yep.
What does Jacob do?
Still honorable.
He returns good for evil. Jacob had every right in the world to walk away from this deal because it was fraudulent. Because there's no way these white sheep are going to produce anything for Jacob. His wages are nothing now. But Jacob, like the man of honor that he is, he continues to work for these sheep. That there's no natural way that anyone would figure out that he's going to get any wages from this. Because Laban has deceptively and evilly removed any human chance that this would he'd get anything from it.
I agree with everything you just said. But like you reading further, I still think that Jacob knew in his head, you take whatever you want because I know what I'm going to do. And that's what he does with the white branches. And that's
okay, so we'll come to that next week. Okay, but let me ask you this, Lord. Is it, or Lou? Lord.
You definitely got that wrong.
So do you think Jacob, one of the reasons he may have decided to not to leave the deal is because he knew that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would bless him?
Yes. Exactly.
Okay, good. Do you take actions in your life that you know, even though I'm getting screwed, I'll be blessed of the Lord?
Okay,
is that deceitful on your part? It kind of is, isn't it? If, using your logic.
Well,
I know that whatever turmoil I'm going to go through, that God is going to bless me. That's the attitude you're supposed to have, and there's no deceit in that. That's faith. Could you close us in prayer? Oh, I'm sorry.
I got
Carl.
A quick question for you, if you've got 2 minutes.
Yeah, please.
What's your opinion of the Netanyahu speech?
That was awesome. I mean, I just about cried.
Yes.
If we could only have that.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. What do you think?
sign him up for president.
I think God opened up the curtains to the United States of America. He opened her eyes.
Totally agree. I just hope we're willing to see.
The difference between truth and evil.
Totally agree.
Good and evil.
Totally agree.
Is it back to Laban? Is
Laban.
Laban.
Yeah, because who's ever blessing Israel gets blessed. So since World War II, when the new Israel started, the United States has been their ally, and now it's...
So we're way off topic, and I'm going to want Lou to close us in prayer, but again, I come back to this. There's no sign, Stephen Hawking can't prove God. No one can prove God through the scientific method.
Right.
But you can prove God through the historical method, the nation of Israel. Historical, real, evidential, tangible, real proof in a court of law that the God exists, and not just any God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Could you close us in prayer?
Father, first and foremost, Father, we just praise you, worship, and honor you, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for this morning, Father. We thank you for the love and fellowship that's in this room. Thank you for Chris, for his words, and how he explains your words. And how we can take that, Father, each and every day out of this room and make it applicable in our lives.
Amen.
Father, we just love and praise you, Father. We just ask for strength and courage each and every day, Father, to be what you want us to be.
It's good, yeah.
And for us to be the light that you just so desperately need in this world. Father, we just sometimes have to apologize for the world because we have disappointed you so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we just ask for protection of our nation, Father. We just pray after this speech that the Americans who are fat and sassy, Father, I just pray that they just listen.
That's good, yeah.
And truly, truly understand what that man was saying.
Amen.
Father, again, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for all these men and the men that aren't here. And Father, we just ask for safe driving today because of the season. And Father, we just thank you for all that you do for us each and every day.
Mm.
And Father, I do say these things in your most powerful name.
Amen. Thanks, brother.